Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, bunk beds strike again with another paranormal childhood encounter. Did a ghost app not only detect paranormal activity, but also play a part in conjuring it up? Also, an encounter with the undead leaves a woman completely breathless. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And how are you doing this fine day, Carol?
Hey, I'm good today. How are you, Tony Brewski?
I am doing well. I literally, as we're recording this afternoon, just came back from Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Went down there for the weekend with the family. And for the life of me, I don't know how this happened. And our long-term listeners of the show will know how crazy this sounds. But as we were leaving the city of Eureka Springs, we missed our continental breakfast because we slept in too long. And we're just like, well, and honestly, if you've ever been to Eureka Springs, it's a lovely town because they don't let a whole lot of chain stuff in there. I think there's like one McDonald's we found by chance this weekend. We didn't go to it, but it was like, oh my God, there's a McDonald's here. And it was like way kind of off the beaten path. We were on our way out of town, headed back here to Branson. And I said to Jen, like, you know, we should get breakfast somewhere for us and the kids. And we're just kind of like, well, where do we go? And all the things on the main drag on the downtown area of Eureka Springs, which is amazing. We're just kind of packed up. Parking was just booked up everywhere. And she said, well, there is one place we could go to that might be, we could probably get into. And she was referring to the Crescent Hotel, which is the most haunted hotel in the United States of America that she's sworn up and down she would never, ever go into. I said, are you referring to the Crescent? And she said, yes, I am. For breakfast? Yes. Seriously? And she said, I will do it for you. And I'm like, okay. And I literally like turned around in a U-turn in the middle of this like very narrow road. and we turned back up into the town and got up there and got to the hotel. And had a really nice breakfast. This is not an advertisement for the Crescent or anything like that. We paid for it out of our own money. But just the hotel's been talked about on this show so many times. We did an episode of it on the Grave Talks a couple, probably about a month or two ago. First time actually stepping foot in the building. And it was an amazing old hotel. Really, I did not feel too much creepiness out of it. She said she didn't either. But certainly, just a neat old building, and they really live up their ghost stories. But a great breakfast, great brunch, a big old, you know, kind of brunch-style buffet. And the kids were there, and they loved it, and they were like, can we explore the hotel after we're done with our omelet? And
did
so
you?
We did. So we wandered up and down and to the top of the building and down to the bottom and out to the gardens and all that. And it was just a really fun morning seeing the Crescent Hotel. You know, I would love to go back there again. And the owner has asked if I'd come back at some point to do some ghost stories when they have some of their stuff in October. And I may do that. But it's a really neat hotel.
It's a beautiful hotel. And the only time I attempted to go in it, because you can take dogs in. It's a dog-friendly place. And I had my dog with me. And I got in front of the hotel, right in front of the main doors. And my radio turned itself down as I watched it. And then I'm like, oh, that was weird. Didn't think anything about it. Turned it up, flipped around because I couldn't find a place to park. When I got right in front of the doors again, my radio turned all the way down again. At that point, I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm not going in there.
We had something, honestly, paranormal happen to us at breakfast. And I don't know what this was or why this was. but we were sitting there, and it's a big brunch buffet type deal. And the waiter came over, took my credit card for payment. The bar's right in front of me. He takes the card up in the little, you know, folder, the little leather folder thing, sets it on the bar, and he turns around to do the thing on the machine, turns around to get the credit card, and I shit you not, I am not making this up for this show. Literally, he opens up the card folder. My credit card, which is associated with the show, because we went there to kind of go around, do a little research for the show. The credit card for the show says Real Ghost Stories Online on the card. Flies out of the folder into the dining room towards the buffet, like towards the quiches. I'm not even kidding.
Like, how far did it fly?
Towards the quiches. Like, he had to go around the bar and pick it up. It flew. Oh, it wasn't just like, oh, it kind of like slid out of the envelope and then landed on the other end of the bar. It flew off of the envelope into the dining area towards the buffet, which is right in front of the bar, and was like out on the floor. It flew past the bar stools even. And he went out there and picked it up. And I'm just like watching this happen because it's right in front of me, and comes back to the table. And I'm like, what happened with the card? He's like, oh, I don't know, maybe a draft or something. I'm like, do you think it was the ghost that did this? And he's like, I don't know. And I said, I do a ghost show, a podcast. I said, I had on my show about a month or two ago, your director of your tours. And I said, it's just funny because I'm using the card for the ghost show for this breakfast as we're here to look at the hotel. And just that object is what flew across the room. It was really bizarre. So I don't know. I mean, you can say draft all you want. I've never seen anything like that happen in my life of a credit card.
Yeah, when was the last time a credit card shot out of your hand because of a draft?
Exactly.
It's just, or anything as far as that goes.
And there's no air conditioning in the building. It's as least drafty of a building as you could get because it's such an old building. So I don't know. It was a bizarre moment, but it totally fit, and I was very excited that it happened. So,
I think drafts get a bad rap.
They do.
Really, like, when was the last time a draft really did anything? Never.
Exactly. I completely agree. So that was my morning.
That's crazy.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter. It says, hey, Tony and Carol, since I've realized how much you guys seem to like bunk bed stories, I got one that actually has scared me a little bit. And I need to bring my bunk bed bell out over here. Get your bunk bed bell ready, Carol. I have a couple here. I have one over there and I have one over here. My name is Linda. I'm from Sweden. And about 10 years ago, I was away for 24 hours of partying with some of our other university students at this church summer camp where I guess they would end up for confirmation camps and so on. The ones of us that were there were the people who had worked at least three times during the semester at the student pub. So we got free alcohol. And yeah, students and free alcohol means they end up drinking a bit. Anyway, I was going to share this room with two other people, and the room had one set of bunk beds. Here we go. And one regular bed. Late at night, I end up going to bed in the top bunk, and it's prepared to fall asleep, only to realize that my sleeping bag was being pulled into the wall. I note that the guy who was going to sleep in the bed under me had some fun with a girl, so they could not be pulling my sleeping bag into the wall. And my friend who was going to have a single bed wasn't in the room, but was out drinking with the other students. I might have been drinking, but I know I didn't imagine the whole thing since I could feel it being pulled into the wall. It ended up with me trying to get my sleeping bag and then getting the hell out of the room. I told my friend about this, and we took some small mattresses we found in the basement to sleep on because we refused to actually sleep in the room. The couple got to share the room with whoever visited that room that night. Earlier that day, a friend who is also sensitive told me how someone apparently had hung themselves in that room and she could feel him there. Six months later, we did end up having another party at that camp. They would take place in other houses. And well, just say the house I was going to sleep in that time was way worse than that room with the bunk bed. It was a place that had really dark energy in the room I was going to sleep in, had something who was looking at me while I did try to change into swimwear. Anyway, thanks for a fantastic podcast. I'll share some other things that I have been through, like my dead dad visiting me in a house that really did scare the living hell out of me when I did deliver advertisements in that house. Would be fun to hear what you guys think about this story and what you think was really going on there. Have a great evening, Linda. I'm thinking it was a ghost that was right there waiting to have their fun with the party.
I thought it was a draft.
It was just a draft. Nothing to worry about. Just those drafts. They come in and they seem
drafts.
Like they pull bunk beds and they pull sleeping bags all over the place. It's all a draft. That's all it is.
Drafts watch you when you're changing into your swimsuit.
It's funny. They mentioned that there was the couple that stayed in there that were having some fun. It would be even more disturbing if they woke up in the morning and she's like, who was that gentleman that I was with last night? And they're like, no one. There was no one there. Because there was actually an article I posted earlier on Facebook today. I forgot where it came from. I did not write it myself, but it was about ghosts doing it with people. And apparently there's some sort of an uptick in this thing happening specifically with women. So I don't know. And I was like, why is this not happening more with men? I don't know. But apparently there's
now.
Yeah.
I have so many questions about that.
Yeah.
But how do they know there's an uptick in this? Like, who's keeping the statistics on this one?
Exactly. Where's the stat on who's doing it with ghosts?
Right. And if it happens, who do you report it to? I wouldn't know where to even go.
I don't know. The National Statistic of Ghost Sex. I have no idea where this actually comes from. But apparently it's being reported more, or maybe people are just more open to reporting it. I don't know. But I don't know how you would like who you report that to. Like once it happens, are you like call this number? Is it like a 511 number or it's not 411, not 911, but like the information lines of like traffic safety and ghost sex? Is that another one that exists in some states or how does that work?
I do think there needs to be a drug screen involved, because maybe
to make
it
sure.
Really wasn't a ghost.
Yeah.
You just don't really remember.
I would agree. I was slightly jealous, though, because it was like, it seems to be women mainly reporting this. I'm like, well, that's not fair. I don't know. I don't know how that works. How do you explain that? I mean, especially if it's a ghost, you probably don't have much choice in the matter. So, I mean, is that rape at that point then when the ghost comes in and does? But I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not trying to be crude, but I'm just like, because the reports are kind of coming out like, and it was really good. I'm like, well, that seems kind of bizarre if this thing came out of nowhere and you enjoyed it. I don't know. It seems rather odd.
I think so. I agree.
What do you
rather
say?
Odd.
How do you define that? I don't know. So anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says it all started when I installed some bogus app on the App Store that promised to find ghosts with a radar. This was my first mistake. I began to talk to a spirit named Charles, but I still thought it was fake as it happened. He refused to tell me his age or how he died, so I left him alone and turned off the app. Then something very terrifying happened. The treadmill in the room had a screen, and the screen started to flicker on and off rapidly. As I walked over to the treadmill, I saw that it wasn't even plugged in. Fast forward a few days later, I had bought a pendulum and planned to speak to Charles with it. He showed me what yes and no looked like on the pendulum and then answered the same questions he did on the app, so I knew it was still him. Then things started to get dark. I asked him what he wanted, and he said, death. I asked him who he wanted to die, and he told me it was my grandmother. After a lot more questions, I figured out that he was planning to come with me on my next trip to my grandmother's house to hurt her. I don't like my grandmother, but I certainly didn't want her to die. The thing was tough. My grandmother was coming to visit in a couple of weeks. While this was all happening, I had told my friends about it in school. My friend, I'll call her Mandy, was mocking Charles and making fun of me for believing in that. Then a few days after that, she Snapchatted me a picture. The picture still sends shivers down my spine every time I look at it. It was a picture of some sort of mist in Mandy's house. And in the top right corner, there was what looked like a man's face screaming. The worst thing was the face had teeth, sharp teeth, very sharp teeth. After this, Mandy was traumatized and she came over to my house and we meditated and sprayed each other with holy water. We didn't use sage, which was a mistake. A week before my grandmother came to visit, I woke up in middle of the night at 3 a.m. and heard stomping from my stairs. I tried to scream, but nothing came out. I then saw the face from a mist in the picture. It zoomed toward me and disappeared right as it hit my face. I blacked out and woke up in the morning with a headache. Nothing happened when my grandma was at my house, but she was leaving. I looked at her aura, and it was pitch black. There also seemed to be a pitch black orb next to her shoulder. Nothing has happened yet, but I'm scared for my grandma. What do you think, Carol?
I don't even know what to think about that. Like, that's just so twisted and dark, and but it's kind of like dabbling in things that I just don't like.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
saying? Yeah, like, you don't really know what exactly could possibly happen there out of that.
Now me, if I thought my grandma would be threatened, I'd be like, we're not coming to visit me, we're not getting together. I'd make up some excuse just for that reason.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, I don't know, but I wouldn't let grandma visit. No way.
Yeah. Just in case. I mean, it's just, it's too scary of the possibility of what if this is true? What if this is accurate? What if this could actually do what I think it's going to do or threatens to do? Yeah. Scary situation. So I hope things work out there.
A long time ago, I had a boss who every decision he made, he had to get out his pendulum. Like, you could be like, we need more envelopes to mail gift certificates. And he's like, well, let me see.
Seriously? Okay.
Everything. He had to ask the pendulum for advice.
Was this a radio boss?
It was not. It was a theater.
Okay.
And yeah. And it was funny because at first I was like, what the hell? That's really weird.
Yeah.
A simple yes or no. And I'd never really been around anyone who was like that.
Mm-hmm.
But his entire business was run by that pendulum. The entire thing. It eventually went under. Surprise. But every decision he made, he had to ask the pendulum first.
That's kind of scary. It's like,
it's kind of weird. I loved him, though. He was a great guy. But I'm like, make a decision.
Well, it's one of those things where, I mean, even if that's the belief system, if that's what you, you know, put some faith into, and I'm not discounting that. But the thing is, with anything of you're asking another side for something, just as a Ouija board where people can get positive outcomes out of it and then not necessarily end up, you know, having a house that's possessed by a bunch of stuff, you can also get a lot of negative things out of it. I would think the same with a pendulum too. You could also be led down a bad path if there's something else influencing it, and you are on this side, you don't necessarily see what's behind the curtain. You're kind of relying on what's behind the curtain. So, yeah.
And to me, I get trying to find answers for things, you know, I get that.
Sure.
But when it's just basic business, like,
yeah,
we need extra potatoes for the potato salad tonight. How many can we buy? Can we get 50 more pounds? Yes. You know, it was just.
That goes beyond. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Let's see what the pendulum says. 30 potatoes, right? 50 potatoes.
It was like that with everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
That's just comping out to something else and basing it.
Don't blame me. Yeah. The pendulum.
It was
said
the
no.
Pendulum fucked it up. Yeah. That'd be a great excuse for the insurance company when it goes under. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump to a caller. Hi, you are on the air.
I called in a couple times with my son's pastor story and the doppelganger story. listening to you guys today just reminded me of all the ghosts that were in my home and made me really miss that house as much as it terrified me. Some fun experiences came out of it as well. So I wanted to share with you guys first my very first ghost encounter, which was not at this place, but second home. When I was little, I was probably like 4 years old, because I know I wasn't in school yet. My first ghost was a shadow person, and I loved listening to your stories. That's what got me hooked, is when I started hearing other people share their shadow guys stories. Just made me realize that I wasn't crazy, and it wasn't my imagination. And a lot of people have seen the same exact type of shadow man, which is crazy. So this happened in Monterey Park, California, in a little house that we had. I was about 4 years old. I was taking a shower in the daytime, and I just had this nasty, scary feeling that when you get like somebody's watching you. So I thought maybe my brother came in the bathroom or somebody was in there, and I don't know, it was just an eerie, weird feeling. And I would take a shower with the door open because I was a little girl. My dad would be a stay-at-home dad at the time, so he was the one watching me. And I just remember I opened the curtain, and there was this shadow man. He had a top hat. It wasn't very, very tall, but it was a top hat, like from the 1920s or whatnot. Or 1800s, I don't know. He had a top hat, and it looked like he had a long coat on, but like a fancy one. And you could see his mustache in the shadow, which was weird. So it was almost like he was walking sideways, because he would look at the side of the shadow as if he was walking alongside by me instead of facing me. So you could see his mustache, which was really unique. It was one of those mustaches with the curl. So he had that. It was a top hat, the curl mustache. He was really tall. Well, the shadow made it seem like he was. And really skinny, super skinny. And I just remembered, I screamed at the top of my lungs. He was just walking along the wall. And there was no way that the shadow could even exist, because there was no window on that side, and our window led to our backyard, so it's not like it was somebody walking from the street and somehow some shadow just appeared. And it was a full body shadow from the bottom of the bathroom floor to the wall. You could see his feet also, you could see the shoes, they were like his really fancy shoes also. You could tell like if he was going to a ball or something. Or he was just a businessman from back in those times. That's how he looked to me. But I just remember it freaked me out. And I screamed, and even when I screamed, he just kept walking along. My dad came in, and he asked me what was wrong, and I just jumped out of the shower, and I, naked and all, and just ran into his arms and started crying. I couldn't even explain to him what happened, but I told him that there was a man, and there was a shadow man. And the crazy part was he appeared to me a couple times, not too many times, but he would appear a couple times. There was another time my dad had me on the top of his shoulders. We were walking in the backyard of that same house. We had a really long backyard, and there was a brick wall that went all the way around it. And my dad was carrying me on his shoulders. And I freaked out again and, I was like, get me down, let's go inside. And he's asking me why, what's going on. And I told him the shadow man's there again. He's walking along the brick wall. I could see him. And what's weird is I wonder if the bathroom window led to that brick wall. So when I would see him pass through the bathroom, I wonder if he was walking through and continuing on to the backyard. And like you guys have mentioned in your past stories, it could be like the house wasn't there maybe in the past time. It was a street maybe back then. And he was just going along his business, going to where he was going back then. I don't know, but that was my very first ghost encounter. Ever since then, because of that, I had to take a shower with my dad or my mom in the bathroom with me, or I would freak out. And that happened until I was about 13 years old, to be honest with you. If I had girlfriends over when, you know, being a kid, 12 years old, 13, my neighbor come over, I would tell her that I had to take a shower, and I'm sorry, but she had to stay in the shower, not in the shower, but in the bathroom with me and talk to me, or my dad or my mom would have to do that. And if I knew that they walked out, I would run out. I would grab a towel and just run out. There was no way that I would stay in a bathroom by myself. And I don't know what made me stop getting scared of that. I think it was until I had a boyfriend. Like once I got a little bit older, I was too embarrassed to be scared of it. I never did see it again from when I was a little girl, but it freaked me out so much that it stayed with me into here. Let me see. Let me not ramble on. I hope I don't get cut off. But I wanted to tell you guys about a little girl that I saw in the house in Roland Heights. That one was really, that was, I think, the worst one. That was physical encounter, the one and only physical encounter that I ever had. So I was sleeping in my room, and I had my back towards the door, and all of a sudden, I don't know what time it was. It was the middle of the night, though. I felt pressure on the sides of the blanket, like if somebody, like if when somebody sits down while you're laying under your blankets, you would feel the blankets tighten. So that's exactly what I felt. But it was on both ends, and it wasn't so heavy. So it felt like a person for sure, like crawling up my body from outside the blankets. So pressure was going down and they were going up. They were crawling up because I could feel the hand pressure and then their knees. And that freaked me out. So I started to try to pray and I couldn't. I kept forgetting the Our Father. I could only say, Our Father who art in heaven, and that's it. Then I would forget the prayer. So I knew it was something bad because I've heard, I guess, like bad spirits of the devil, like, tries to cut you off from finishing your prayer so your prayer won't get to heaven or get to God, you know, to help you, I guess. So I couldn't finish my prayer, and that was even freaking me out even more. I start hyperventilating. I can't breathe. And then it kept going up, walking and crawling up my body. And then all of a sudden, I feel a hand touch my shoulder. And I was wearing a tank top, so it was like skin to skin. And oh my God, I don't even remember if it was cold or hot. I just know I felt pressure on my arm, on my shoulder. And it was trying to turn me around, like nudging me, like come on, like wake up, kind of. And I was like, oh, fuck you. So I remember I had my eyes really wide shut, as tight as I could, and I said to myself, okay, well, you want to turn me around, I'll turn myself around. So I flopped around really quickly, and I tried saying a prayer again, and I said, please, I'm going to open my eyes now, just don't freak me out, okay, because I have seen stuff my whole life, so this wasn't the first time I've seen stuff, but this was the first time something touched me. So I just kind of said it in my head, you know, and then opened my eyes. Just don't freak me out, please. Don't be scary. Don't be ugly. So I opened my eyes and I see this little girl. She's like between five and seven, maybe. She's blonde. She has her hair in a ponytail. She's standing to her side, right in front of my door. My door's shut though, shut locked. That's another story why I locked my door. And she's standing there. She has a tank top, raggedy white dress. Looks like she's been, like, crawling in the dirt with it. It's just all ripped up, and it's dirty, but it is white. And she's glowing, like, just brightness coming out from her. Glowing, glowing, glowing. But I can't see her face. Her hair is messed up in her ponytail, so it's covering the side of her face. And I felt bad for her. So I go, okay, well, maybe she's coming to me for help. So I close my eyes again, and I say a prayer, and I ask God to take her where she needs to be, and, you know, she can't be here, but have her find peace. And then I open my eyes, and she's gone. So I was like, okay, but I'm still freaked out, so I tried booking it to go to my parents' room. I was about 16 at this time too. So it wasn't something like, you know, I'm this little girl and I'm trying to run to mommy and daddy. I was scared. I was a teenager. I shouldn't be running to mommy and daddy for help in the middle of the night, you know, crying, saying that I have a nightmare. So I know I was awake. As I go to the door, I go to unlock it, and I just feel this push on the left side of my shoulder, and I hit the right wall. The wall was to my right. So I hit the wall, and I dropped myself. It didn't hit me that bad to drop me, but I dropped myself because I was so scared. So I dropped myself, and I grabbed my knees, and I'm hugging my knees, and I'm just crying now. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, this thing is going to trap me in my room. Like, what does it want? Like, I thought it was a nice little girl, like an angel or something, but obviously not. So I don't know how long I stood there for, but I did, just shaking and crying and praying. So finally I got the courage again to get up and get out of my room. So I did. I got up. I was shaking so bad I couldn't unlock my door. I finally got it open. I got out of my door. I closed the door behind me. I ran to my parents' door, closed their door behind me. I locked their door, and I jumped between both of them. And I am just bawling at this time. And my parents are like, what's going on? What happened? Like, they think, I don't know what they thought. I thought I broke up with my boyfriend or something, and I was heartbroken. But my mom's like, talk to me, tell me what's going on. And I just couldn't. I couldn't even breathe. So she just says, okay, don't worry about it. Just go to sleep. I'll hold you. You can tell me tomorrow morning. So that's exactly what happened. The next day, I tell her what I told you guys. And she says, oh, sweetie, that's just a guardian angel.
And that's where the story ends. What would you be saying to your daughter of, is it a guardian angel on a story like that?
It didn't sound like a guardian angel.
No, not at all.
But if it was my daughter, I would probably have said the same thing. Because especially when your daughter's young, last thing you want to do is like, well, obviously that was some demonic force in your bedroom last night, honey.
And don't let the devil back in tomorrow night. Let's go have some prime rib. You know, yeah, it's not exactly the conversation you're going to have with your daughter. But, you know, I get where maybe a parent may be coming from. But, yeah, I mean, that one certainly did not sound anywhere near the level of the stories we have of guardian angels.
No, because those ones are usually really pretty beautiful. Yeah. The stories are, you know, kind of profound and life-changing and not scary to death.
Well, I think sometimes too with those stories, you have them, I guess if this is a topic you're very uncomfortable with, it's something you don't want to talk about, you don't want to accept or believe is even there, what you want to jump into is the guardian angel pool. And like, oh, that's great. If this does exist, it's there. But the thing is, not all of it is there. And that may be where we're trying to jump into, not only for them, for their daughter, but even for themselves, of just trying to comprehend what exactly was going on.
Well, because you don't want to think your daughter's being visited by demonic spirits either.
No, not exactly under the best positive thought, you know, like, oh, tuck you into bed and hope, you know, watch your Thomas the Train, and hopefully no demonic spirits come on by tonight.
And imagine the next weeks, every night, the mom and dad are like, oh, crap. Yeah. I hope she doesn't come get in bed with us. Yeah. I hope the demonic spirits leave her alone.
I get where they're coming from, but probably not the most accurate of realizations or...
I think mom just told her something to comfort her.
I agree.
Make her feel a little bit better, because I would be so freaked out if my kid told me that.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would say.
It's a what do you do? You know, what do you do moment. And a lot of times, once you're looking into retrospectively, it's like, oh, maybe I would have done it that way. But when you're in the moment, how exactly do you handle it?
Exactly.
So thank you for sharing that story with us. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please become a member of our Facebook group. Look for that, Real Ghost Stories Online group. And more importantly, become an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. You sign up for that at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of our show, brand new ones every single week at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol and everyone else, thank you guys for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.